the kind of fool who's gonna sit and sing to you about stars, girl. But last night I looked up into the dark half of the blue, and they gone backwards. Something in your magnetism must have pissed them off, forcing them to get an early night. I have been searching from the bottom to the top for such a sight as the one I caught when I saw your fingers dim in the lights, like I used to be told that you're trouble. And I spend all night stuck on a puzzle. Nobody I asked knew how we came to be the one to whom you surrendered. Any man who wasn't led away into the other room stood pretending. But something in your magnetism hadn't just made him drop. Was the one I caught when I saw your fingers dim in the lights, like you're used to being told that you're true. And I spent all night stuck on a puzzle.
Hello, this is Maddie, and you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. That was Stuck on the Puzzle by Alex Turner, and yeah, it's Monday. It is 2 a.m. March 6th, and yeah, this show is going to be all Arctic Monkeys, which might be like so intense, but we'll see how it goes. I talked about this a couple, either last week or 2 weeks ago, because I was kind of reflecting on just like when I kind of started getting into music and like was just like listening to new things for the first time, and talked about Arctic Monkeys as one of the first bands that I really loved. And they have a really interesting discography, I guess, like just evolution over their albums. They have 7 albums, and they go from between 2006 to 2022, so that's like 16 years. And I think that like their sound changes a lot, and they're I think really interesting, and I have a lot to say about them. So I decided to kind of do this show, and we're gonna move chronologically through the albums and just kind of like talk about it. yeah, I've never done something like this before, but I feel like it could be kind of fun. And maybe I'll do it with more artists and bands that I feel like have similar, not similar, but like also have kind of an interesting like evolution. So a little background is that, well, that song was kind of an intro because it is by Alex Turner, who's like the main guy in the Arctic Monkeys, the front man, as they say. And he made this like sweet little EP for a movie called Submarine. And I really like the EP and I like all the songs. But I just thought I would start with that one because it feels kind of neutral. And then I can like kind of intro the albums. It started, it formed early 2000s, four men, friends from like childhood, I think, elementary school. They released this album called Whatever People Say I Am, That's What I'm Not, which is also just like, their album names are great, I think. Well, that one's great. A couple of them are great. Anyway. And it became, I was doing a little research, it became the UK's fastest selling debut of all time, which is, I feel like, a pretty high bar considering how many talented people have come out of the UK. And at that point, Alex Turner had just turned 20. So, like, it's a very young band, and I think that you hear that a lot in their first couple albums, as we'll see. But they really kind of, like, just like blast onto the scene. I that's how I interpret it. Obviously, I was 5 in 2006, wasn't listening to the Arctic Monkeys, but that's kind of what I, that's the vibe that I get. Like they came out strong. They definitely came out strong, actually. And the first album, the first two albums are very like rock and roll, fast, loud, like super angsty. I think the second one, which we're going to get to, is like a little bit more refined and like kind of reined in a sense, a little bit less just like all over the place crazy. But the first one is definitely all over the place crazy. And I'm going to play a song called I Bet You Look Good on the Dance Floor, which I feel like sort of like that song from that album, I feel like just kind of made them famous. It's like by far, I'm looking at the Spotify statistics, and it is like they're by far the most played song from that album, along with this one other song. But it's just a really, it really just gets you going. I think we're just going to jump right in. It's really intense. Like, I feel like their early stuff is just this, like, really, like, loud rock and roll vibe. And, yeah, we're going to, I feel like I've already talked way too much. So we're just going to get started with I Bet You Look Good on the Dance Floor.
Bang, 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 go. I bet that you look good on the dance floor.
Alright, so what I forgot to say was that I'm going to just pop back in after every album and, like, talk about it. But, yeah, so that is, like, just, I feel like that song, that's really not actually at all my favorite song from that album. It's a lot, it's kind of more intense than I tend to like, but I think that it does kind of sum up that, the feelings of those first, that first album really well, and I think, like, just the lyrics immediately, like, there's just these allusions and there's references, like, talks about, like, 1984 and the Montagues and the Capulets and just, like, some interesting stuff going on there. Yeah, but definitely, like, they're in their rock and roll era, I would say. So now this next album is Favorite Worst Nightmare, which, well, maybe I'll talk about the album after the songs. Maybe that makes more sense. So, this is Favorite Worst Nightmare. This album comes out in 2007, just 1 year later, and I definitely, like, group it in with the first one. This song is, there's gonna be two songs from this album. This song is called Fluorescent Adolescent.
Now you only get it in your nightdress. Discarded all the naughty nights for niceness. Landed in a very common crisis. Everything's in order in a black hole. Nothing seems to fit to the past though. A bloody memory's like an El Tabasco. Remember when you used to be a rascal? Oh, the boys are slag. The best you ever had. The best you ever had is just a memory. And those dreams, when it's down. Looking through a little book of sex tips. Remember when the bars were all electric? And now when she told she's gonna get it, I'm guessing that she'd rather just forget it. Clinging to not getting sentimental. Said she wasn't going but she went still. Like a gentleman had to be gentle. Was it a mecha double or a betting pencil? Oh, the boys are slag. The best you ever had. The best you ever had is just a memory. And those dreams, when as daft as they seem. As daft as they seem, my love, when you dream them overflow. Where did you go? Where did you go? Where did you go? Took her left off last lap lane. Just sounding it out. But you're not coming back again. You're falling about. You took her left off last lap lane. You were just sounding it out. But you're not coming back again. Get it in your fishnets. Now you wanna get it in your dress. You just gotta
back to 5:05. If it's a 7-hour flight or a 45-minute drive, in my imagination, you're waiting, lying on your side, with your hands between your thighs. Stop and wait a sec.
That was 5:05. Before that was Fluorescent Adolescent. Those are from Favorite Worst Nightmare, which I think, as I was kind of mentioning, I think very similar sort of vibes of the first album. It came out only a year later, but I think it's a bit more refined. It's kind of like if the first one was like reined in a bit. I think that's generally kind of the sound of their second album, but again, like, Alex Turner was 21, so I feel like they're definitely still in their adolescent phase, their fluorescent adolescent phase. And I really love that album. I feel like those two songs, Fluorescent Adolescent and 5:05, are definitely, aside from AM, which we'll get to, like, two of their kind of more well-known songs, I would say. So felt like those would be fitting to play. Yeah, we're just going to keep moving right along, I think. But this next, so new album, this is Humbug from 2009, so 2 years later. I'll talk about the album, I guess, after we listen, but this song is called Cornerstone.
I thought I saw you in the battleship, but it was only a lookalike. She was nothing but a vision trick. Under the warning light, she was close, close enough to be your ghost. But my chances turned to toast when I asked her if I could call her your name. I thought I saw you in the rusty hook, huddled up in a wicker chair. I wandered over for a closer look and kissed whoever was sitting there. She was close and she held me very tightly, till I asked awfully politely, please, can I call you? For me to hear her speak, and she had a broken arm. It was close, so close that the walls were wet, and she wrote it out in letter sets. No, you can't call me her name. And tell me, where's your hiding place? I'm worried I'll forget your face.
So, that was Cornerstone. This album, Humbug, is an interesting one. I think that this is kind of their first shift. You see this in this one. It's like much more focused. There's kind of these slow down lyrics. The guitar, the drums are softened. The drumming is like really good. I forgot to mention this, but I really like the drumming on 505. Back in the day, little known fact about me, actually not little known at all, I feel like I talk about it all the time, but I used to play the drums and I played percussion in middle school band. Woo! And, yeah, I was just like super into them for that. But yeah, I think that this, this album is 2009 it comes out, and I think that this is, it's kind of like their first sort of pivot, I think. They kind of are, you are seeing them grow up a little bit. Their lyrics are a bit more like kind of brooding and less just like intense angst. And I think that like with the way that the indie rock scene would change in the 2010s, this kind of, this pivot, I think really emphasized their ability to do more than just like the loud, intense rock and roll, and I think like helped their relevancy by kind of broadening their horizons and suggesting that they could do more than they had been doing. And this next album is sort of on the way, but also I think of it sort of as this little pit stop. I think that there's a lot of continuity between Humbug and AM, but in the middle they have this album called Suck It and See, which is epic name. But yeah, so I'm going to play three songs from that, actually, mostly because I really love that album, but also because I think it'll get convey the vibes better. But yeah, I think it's kind of this interesting, like, it kind of feels like Humbug into AM, it feels really logical to me, and then this is a little bit of a pit stop, but I really like it, and I think even though it's a little bit out of place, it's a good album. And yeah, I don't know, I just personally like it. So we're gonna start off with Black Treacle, and this is from Suck It and See.
Lately I've been seeing things, belly button piercings in the sky at night when we're side by side. And I don't mean to rain on anybody's cabaret. One of those games you're gonna lose, but you wanna play it just in case. Now it's getting dark. Black treacle,
still breaking hearts with the efficiency that only youth can harness. And do you still think love is a lazy quest? Or do you take it all more seriously? I've tried to ask you this in some daydreams that I've had, but you're always busy being make-believe. And do you look into the mirror to remind yourself you're there, or ask somebody's goodnight kiss has got that covered? Well, I'm not being honest, I pretend that you were just so. And I can't think of anything to dream about. I can't find anywhere to hide. And when I'm hanging on by the wings around my eyes, and I convince myself I need another, and for a minute it gets easier to pretend that you.
Huge thunderstorms lying on the front, up against the wall. She's thunderstorms. I've been feeling foolish. You should try.
That was She's Thunderstorms. Before that was Love is a Laser Quest. And before that was Black Treacle, which are all from Suck It and See. And I think, like, through that little selection, you can kind of see how it's all a bit, it's a bit toned down. I think in She's Thunderstorms, we hear, like, kind of that drumming coming back. And there's definitely, like, some more that are like that. But in general, definitely a little bit different. This is also, this comes out in 2011, which is the year that Alex Turner writes the soundtrack for the film Submarine, which is all kind of like these quieter, softer songs. And so I think that probably has something to do with it. And one of the songs from that EP makes it onto this album called Pile Driver Waltz. And yeah, I'm going to pause here and we're going to read a PSA. And this is called Numbers to Think About. Some numbers to think about. The United States has less than 5% of the planet's population, but incarcerates 24% of its prisoners and accounts for 43% of the world's total military spending. A public service message from WFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio. Yeah, nice and brief, but some food for thought, I would say. So now we are about, I guess it's been 5 years of them releasing albums. And it's been 4 albums, but in the next, I'm like really figuring this out as I'm speaking, in the next, so that's 4 albums in 5 years, but then over the next 9 years, there's going to be 3 albums, so they definitely get a bit more spaced out. So this next album is what I would call the big one, capital TBO. AM came out in 2013. A fun tidbit about this album is that it came out on September 9th, 2013, which was the beginning of my 7th grade year, and the day it came out was the day that I got my first ever period. And maybe that feels extremely personal to share on the radio, but there's no reason that menstruation should be taboo. So I'm breaking down a barrier right now and telling you all that. And I remember this distinctly because I had this friend who was like super into music and like played guitar and bass and was like in this thing called, it's called School of Rock. And I think it's like a chain. But low-key, maybe it was only in our town. But it's like a music school, but it's like rock-focused, hence the name. And she was like super into music, and like she kind of got me like to start listening to stuff, and I definitely owe her a lot in terms of just like cultivating an interest in music and starting to listen to things. And she like already liked Arctic Monkeys and like had played some of their stuff and was pretty into them. And so I remember that she was like really excited about this album coming out. And I remember the day that it came out, like we talked about it at school, and like I also got my period. And that's just like a crazy funny little coincidence. So anyway, yeah, I feel like this is a really big album. I mean, it is a really big album. I don't feel like that. I'm trying to say I feel like less. That's a separate conversation. But this album, I think they had really kind of come into their fame at this point. And I think that you hear in the way that they kind of have this like bolder, but also more comfortable sound. I think that they're embracing success in a really tangible way here. There's also an interesting hip hop influence that you can hear in the drums and the bass, which I think also kind of represents this factor of just being a bit more sort of settled into their fame. And this album is huge because they really just got a whole generation with this one, I think. Like, there's, I think, so many people who started listening after this album. This album was huge on, I was really big into Tumblr, and this album was like huge on Tumblr. It was, you know, it's kind of this like perfect like adolescent angst, which I think is sort of ironic because they were older at this point and their earlier albums are actually like so much better for that. But this kind of encompasses that in a way that I think spoke to a lot of people who were young people in 2013, which is a different clientele than people who sort of like jumped on their first album in 2006. And especially because their next album didn't come out for 5 years, I think that this album just like encompasses a lot in terms of the fan base and in terms of reaching people. And I think that this is where they get a lot of their reputation. I feel like some, I think sometimes they get sort of brushed off or like written down because they're kind of associated with this, you know, early 2010s Tumblr, teen angst, teenage girl, like annoying vibes. And they really are a lot more than that as a band, which is obviously why this radio show can happen right now. But yeah, so I think they definitely got a lot of their reputation from this album. Yeah, and I feel like it's definitely, yeah, I mean, I love it, but it's definitely different. I think sort of ushered in this new era, in a sense, of their songs. So we're going to play a couple, and this first one is called Knee Socks.
Are drawn out long, and you're kissing to cut through the gloom with a cough drop colored tongue. You are sitting in the corner with the coats all piled high, when I thought you might be mine. In a small world, I'm an exceptionally rainy Tuesday night, in the right place and time.
When the zero standing for the 24 hour clock, when you know who's calling even though the number is blocked, when you want to rent your house where it will scatter across, then your knees up.
Well, it cured my January blues. Yeah, you made got a feeling I might have lit the very fuse that you were trying not to light. You were a stranger in my phone book. I was acting like I knew, 'cause I had nothing to lose. When the winter's in full swing and your dreams just aren't coming true, ain't it funny what y'all do?
When the zero's running from the top,
baby.
Cortina. I will never rust. If you like your coffee hot, let me be your coffee pot. You call the shots, babe. I just wanna be yours. Secrets I have held in my heart are harder to hide than I thought. Maybe I just wanna be yours. I wanna be yours. I wanna be yours. Wanna be yours. Wanna be yours. Wanna be yours. Let me be your lucky meter. As deep as the Pacific Ocean. I wanna be yours. Secrets I have held in my heart are harder to hide than I thought. Maybe I just wanna be yours. I wanna be yours. I wanna be yours.
Okay, sorry to cut that off. We're running out of time. So, so that album, I think, is just, that's I Want to Be Yours, before that was Knee Socks. That album, I think, just, it really represents that they have grown up so much in their music, I think, but not so much in their feelings, in their sentiments, and I think that that is why they could just continue to resonate with so many people, and maybe that's to say we never really grow up out of our angsty yearning. We get older, but we continue to yearn. I don't know if that's true. Probably will be for me. I think I'll be yearning forever. Anyway, yeah, so then there's 5 years that happen, and there's no albums, and then they announce an album, and it comes out. Well, they announce it, everyone gets super excited, and then it comes out, and drama ensues. I'm going to play the song, and then we're going to talk about it. But this album is called Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino, and the song is American Sports.
So when you gaze on planet Earth from outer space, does it wipe that stupid look off of your face? I saw this aura over the battleground states. I lost the money, lost the keys, but I'm still handcuffed to the briefcase. And I never thought, not in a million, please have my money back. My virtual reality mask is stuck on Parliament Brawl. Emergency battery pack, just in time for my weekly chat with God on video call. Breaking news, they take the truth and make it fluid. The trainer's explanation was accepted by the steward. A montage of the latest ancient ruins, soundtracked by a chorus of you don't know what you're doing. And I never thought, not in a million years, that I
Okay, so that was American Sports, and this album, the drama was really just that it was so anticipated because it had been 5 years since they had released an album. Before that, they were releasing every couple years, and I think it was just super hyped up, and then they came out with something that was really different. I think you can hear it in that song for sure. It's a lot less guitar. It's kind of taking the like rock riffs that they were really known for and replacing them with these like piano things. It's very different from their past. There's a lot of more sort of like pensive, melancholy energy. And it's also just really sort of funky. It's like a concept album, which I tend to really like because I just think that they're kind of fun and creative about like this luxury resort on the moon and just sort of like silly. It always makes me think of Hotel California, just kind of this like concept of transcendent hotels, I guess. But yeah, I really like this album, and I think a lot of people were calling it elevator music, were saying like what happened to the rock and roll, and I get that, I do, but I don't think that it's a bad album. I think it's super different, but I enjoy it, and I do think that it is definitely more like sort of ambient noise than their other stuff, but I'm not opposed to ambient noise, quite frankly. And this next album, so this is the last one. The hour went so fast, so much to say. But this next album was called The Car. It came out 2022, so this past year, and that was 4 years after Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino. And there was also a lot of speculation about this one, about, you know, was it going to be like the old stuff, or was it going to be like Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino? And I would say it's definitely a little bit tighter than the first album, where we really see this shift. But it's kind of similarly in this universe, similar like musings on various things. And I think that it's fair to say that they've sort of completely lost their early adolescent angst. And I think that it ushers in kind of a new era, or Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino ushered in a new era, which The Car continues. And it's been almost 20 years, but they show no sign of stopping. So I think it will be interesting to see whether they pivot again or whether this kind of becomes their new little niche. But I was reading an interesting interview where Alex Turner talked about how he really doesn't see that much of a difference between the albums. And I think, obviously, I've just told you about all the differences, but I do agree, because I think that there are all these differences between the albums, but I think that the differences are clear, that it's in the vein of an evolution of a band that's growing up and growing into themselves, both in this literal sense of getting older and maturing, and also gaining confidence and fame and feeling comfortable in their success. And I think that that is what I really enjoy about their complete discography. And yeah, I hope that this was like kind of cool, and I'm really running out of time to play this last song, but yeah, I think that this is, I want to just credit this to someone that I know who went to Tufts named Curry, who is really into Fiona Apple and has this Spotify playlist linked in his Instagram bio of Fiona Apple songs. And it's called Catchy Fiona Apple, and the description is, not her best per se, but an accessible introduction to her genius. And I hope that that's what I did here. Like, not quite what I think that their best is, not quite my favorites, but I think an accessible introduction. And with that, I'm going to send you off with just a little bit of a song from The Car called There'd Better Be a Mirror Ball. And once again, really quick, this is Maddie. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio, and I'll see you next week. Good night.